All right, there we go. I think we're ready to go ahead and get these questions going. If you don't know why you're here to listen to me answer questions about Resonite. You can drop questions in the questions thread. I've linked that in the Office Hours channel, but I'm also going to go ahead and link it in the side chat for this stage. Additionally, I've got to close a baby gate. All right, baby gate closed. Let's go back to the list of questions. Yeah, woo. Red is asking about custom workspaces, the dash thing, how you make, if you know. Workspaces are currently restricted to just user space, so you'll have a very big difficulty using them. I don't know what the sort of long-term intentions for the workspace component is. I can see it going like two ways, where we allow workspaces in worlds, or we don't allow workspaces in worlds. I can see it going both ways, and I don't really know what like Fruxy's original plan with the workspace component is. I routinely have difficulty with the workspace component. It is one of my most edited components. It's not that I hate it, it's just that, like, I don't know, I kind of want to rewrite it from scratch, but I don't really also want to do. You can probably use a mod to sort of patch out the user space onlyness of workspace component. Do keep in mind though that anything that you shove in like a custom space, It's not safe. Be careful. Moving forwards to Yosh, who's saying, what the dog doing? Dog's sat next to me on the couch. Actually sat on the armchair to get play, like trying to get my attention, basically. Welcome to my lap. Hi, dog. You're my lap. Yeah. All right. Move forwards. Red says, off it today. I'll come back to you on that. Let my brain brew. Moving forwards. Venport says, what the business doing? Not much traction there. I'm trying to get them headlesses set up, and you'll be like, wow, that's easy. But one of the thing is that we can't really use Steam. And so I'm like, well, what's the easiest way to do that? I'm probably going to end up doing a like Docker container image that's privately published, and then logging in to the container registry on the headless machine cloud. That to me sounds like the best way. Originally I was going to like do a full Pelican pterodactyl setup for them. But like that will add like another week to it. So like, I'm just going to like shove one up via Docker and other like cloud. The problem that I really want to avoid is, actually was researching this entire problem and came up with a bunch of sort of ideas and theories on it, but that means I need to explain it. So when it comes to VMs or like just server boxes in general, you have two types essentially in a cloud app setup. You have pet or cattle. And to explain that, pet is something that you keep around for a long time, you take care of, you pet it, etc. Whereas a cattle machine is one that like is disposable, used to serve one particular utility, not really valued as much, but like still important, and there's loads of them, or could be loads. So most of you that exist on this community probably own pet like servers, right? You probably, like, for your headlesses, maybe you rent a VPS somewhere, or like a bare metal at Hetzner or something. That's like pet, because you know, you pay for it each month and then you do stuff to it. That you, like, maybe right now it's a Resonite headless, but like a couple of years or maybe a few months ago it had a Minecraft server or whatever. Like that. There is a sort of bit in the middle where you use Docker containers for your game servers, and then it's sort of like half and half. But I wanted to sort of expand that up to the VM tier. And what that means is I don't really want anyone, and that includes me, SSHing into the VM once it's set up and running a Resonite headless in their cloud, because they shouldn't have to, basically. Like, it should just that was the whole plan behind Pterodactyl. But I don't want to add like another week delivery of something so simple. So I will just Docker containerize it. I could also do it by a zip, but like I can end up shoving, like, if, like, let's say the corporate universe needs 400 headless instances later, we can just shove that container image into Azure container instances, and it can do like thousands. More on that in just a moment, because Jay's here talking about CoracoOS. Jack, let's jump around a little bit though. Jack says, are you going to create an official Docker image for Resonite headlesses? That's basically what's going to happen. No one will have access to. I'm looking into ways of like maybe being able to do it, but it's like squirreled in a corner to like corpover stuff. Like I wouldn't be able to containerize anything that would be compatible with your stuff. Basically, there's a branch of Fruk's engine for corpoverse, and to meet their like deadlines and their requirements and their goals, I'm kind of ignoring the traditional sort of PR based process and just like hammering on this one branch. And so it takes a while to come back to the into the mainline branch, because I have to like split stuff up. Because sometimes even I don't know what I'm changing. It's like, oh, you know, we really need this by like Tuesday. And I'm just like, git commit, blah, 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 blah. And I just deploy that to like corporate servers works. So going back to that, what I set up over in the Terraform repository is what's called Packer build script. Packer is like Terraform's answer to VM provisioning. And what that does is it installs like utilities like curl and git, Docker and the dot, and then it sets up like a template systemd service, and it stops. That's the VM. It doesn't enable that system. Then in the Terraform, we can reference that built image, because the image is only built once, and it speeds up the image creation. But in setting all of that up, I'm just like, kind of just sounds like I should Fedora Core OS this. And so then I got like paralyzed by analysis paralysis over, should I just like undo all of this like Packer stuff, cloud init stuff that handles all this like provisioning of a VM, and instead just provision a Fedora Core OS with like one YAML file and it will just do it. So I went on a rabbit hole last night and looked into what J4 is doing with Core OS to stand up our like internal IT services. And I'm just like, it looks like this would be easier and kind of exactly what I want. So I might eat the time and do that. I probably won't charge the corporate place for that, because like I've already done it. Like it already works with Packer. But at that point, they will have a VM in Azure that is Fedora Core OS. The reason why I'm saying Fedora Core OS very clearly is because if you look for Core OS, you'll end up at Red Hat. And then it's like, I don't know what the hell. Fedora Core OS. I have a question for you, Jay, as well. I'll get it to you in just a moment. I kind of just want to. Part of the way that like Fruk's is like developed methodology, and also mine, due to particularly this project, due to some of the requirements by the corporate's IT team, i.e. Terraform and sort of unattended setup, is like trying to do things the correct way. So like if you right now had access to like a corporate IT infrastructure that could spin up any VM you want, like Ubuntu, Windows, Windows 7, Windows 8, like they've got all of like, I've got access to do like any VM you can imagine. And they were like, could you set us up a headless server so we can just prove that works? You'd probably just like make a VM, SSH into it, and like run a bunch of manual commands. But like, I don't want to do that because I'll forget what ones I did. So I kind of want to set it up properly, which leads to sort of, you know, more infrastructure as a code, etc. And then when I discover, hey, there's an entire OS dedicated to like this problem that you're trying to solve using like Terraform, that's one system, Packer, that's two systems, Cloud Init, that's three systems, and then Docker, that's four systems. It's just like, nah, man, I think we can just core in. And so then that gets into sort of like, hey, you know, Fruk's development methodology actually sort of encourages this kind of rabbit hole. Of course, read the How We Prioritize document for more information about it. I'm going to link Fedora Core OS in the video description. You know what I mean? Here it is. It's it's a lot to sort of figure out, but essentially you throw like a YAML file at like Fedora and it goes, yo, and just like run stuff. However, the reason why I have a question, Jay, is, hi Jay, or Bredo, seeing as Bredo's there, what is Fedora Silverblue, Fedora Kinuot, Fedora Sway Atomic, Fedora Budgie Atomic, Fedora Cosmic Atomic? They're listed under the docs as Atomic Desktops, which they sound identical to Core OS. So like I don't understand like why there are so many. That page, I'm just like, for the benefit of everyone here, that page is just ridiculous, right? So Fedora Silver Blue, what's the description of Fedora Silver Blue? Fedora Silver Blue is a variant of Fedora Workstation, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Do I need like a tech tree of Fedora instances at this point? But it gets even more ridiculous. Fedora Budgie Atomic is a variant of Fedora Budgie Spin. What the fuck is Fedora Budgie Spin? Okay. Fedora Spins are alternative desktops for Fedora. So Fedora Cinnamon has the Cinnamon Window Manager or Desktop Manager. Terminology is more correct. So yeah, I don't understand the difference between what I just described, these Fedora Atomic desktops and Fedora Core OS, because they sound like identical. I, a long time ago, I looked into Fedora Core OS. This was before it was under the Fedora project, so it was just Core OS, I think. Because I was like, oh, it's beautiful. Like, this is like exactly what I want. But at the time, there was like zero documentation, and so I haven't touched it. Like, I last looked at Core OS, like, before I worked at Resonite. Probably before Mixer as well. Hey, you know the Jedi Council got a bit sus towards the end of the Jedi Order? Let's hope the Fedora Council, you know, don't have to, like, have an Order 66 on them. Yeah, Exxon NixOS is from 2003, and Nix has been, like, my hype for a bit, but, like, I look at, like, a Nix file for installing, like, Discord, and I'm just like, I hate this. Like, why is this, like, 50 lines of, like, I don't understand. Anyway, I believe that's enough on the sort of rat hole where I did a piece of work that I realized that J4 was also doing, and then get stuck in analysis paralysis, and then sleep on it and figure out, yeah, my stuff's getting real complicated, and all I really want to do is run like 3 Docker containers on a VM that I can, you know, manipulate very easily and not allow other people that will have access to it to make a mess, basically. For an indication of what I was dealing with, when I would hand them headlesses before we had all this Azure stuff set up, they would take it, and then it would end up in this directory tree on the machine they were using to test the headless, with like 3 or 4 like shell scripts that basically were like, run this version, use this folder, use that folder. And it was just like, this is just like too complicated. Like, there's too much stuff. Anyway, we will continue with questions. Sente, I want to create a fully functional chow garden. Does Resonite support cross-world data sharing, i.e. could players collect animals across several worlds to take into the chow garden world? Absolutely. There are many ways to do that. One of the maybe easiest ways to look at that I can think of right now is from an MMC, that's Metaverse Maker Competition entry from, I want to say like a year or two ago, I don't know how many though. Cloudscape Harvest uses this like entity system where you can like save your game and store it in your inventory. And so all you'll have to do for that is like take a look at it for you know, chows and stuff like that. For chows though, you might be able to do that without that system. You might just be able to use one of our features called dynamic variables, and then they just resave the chow to their inventory. The problem that you will have is that unless they resave it, the information will be lost between sessions. So at which point you could use cloud variables, but at that point you would need like a cloud variable per chow, and that's kind of problematic. So maybe back to Cloudscape Harvest system. Savable entity system, yes. It's the MC entry I'm referring to. Kind of interesting, because you could bodge job the workspace component to like handle a pet. A workspace component will like periodically save if there have been updates, etc. And so if you get it out of user space, you could make like an auto-saving, like cookie clicker, but like auto-save. Well, actually, seeing as workspaces work in user space, you could put user space as a desktop facet and have it auto-save with the workspace. But other than that, you can't. Workspaces are still user space only. Let us move forwards. I'm speaking like a Jedi Council member. Let us move forwards. What is the next item on the Jedi Council's meeting? The next item is... All right, we're still talking about Linux distros. Brady says, when are you publishing your office hours recordings next? Your latest one is from January. I have them all saved. Actually, I think I lost one. I think I lost one due to my right click not working. Turns out that was the actual mouse. I just bought a new mouse and it's fixed. I don't like that because I should have taken the mouse apart, but sometimes you just like need to push stuff out of the way and get on with it. And that's what's happened. My old mouse has just been pushed out of the way to another area of my desk directly above my mouse mat, and it's there to remind me to repair it. Because it's a really nice mouse, so all I need to do is figure out, like, why is the right-click intermittent? If the switch is wrong, I've got an actual fully broken one of those mice in a cupboard somewhere, and I can probably, like, donor board it for a new switch. Anyway, we're talking about that because of office hours and new computers and the fact that I've lost one. So I have lost the recording of... additionally, I have all the other ones, but I don't have the script to upload them because that is on my old hard drive, which is currently unplugged because I didn't have a spare USB port when I was diagnosing mouse issues. So I unplugged the external hard drive and plugged the mouse's dongle directly into the front panel bus. So like, that's also why I lost the recording, because I interrupted it saving to the old hard drive. I'm having fun, basically. The mouse issue is now fixed. I'll get it done as soon as possible. One of the other things is, I know I keep saying this, and I talked about it in the office hours announcement. I want to get this up on Twitch, but what I need to do there is to set up probably a bunch of scenes. And I also kind of want to do something a little bit different, which is not be in Resonate. I know that most of our office hours for on Twitch are in Resonate, but due to the nature of my office hours where I like dive into things like the tech tree, code, rant about recycling, etc., I think like a VTuber setup would be a better thing. So I want to get that set up. So you've got like me in the right corner, bottom right, like emoting and stuff. And then you'll have like question feed or like Excali drawer in the middle. And I think that's what I want to do. Oh, I bought ice cream today. Hell yeah. Sente asks about Jack's savable entity system and says, is that vulnerable to hackers though? Like, could cheaters go into their inventory code and give their chow max stats? At the moment, that sort of problem is impossible to resolve in Resonate. Like, a significantly motivated person would be able to figure out how that works. I'll give you an example. Some users have boop counters or headpat counters on their avatars. And one user in particular had one that used an external API. So instead of using cloud variables or anything like that, it did a HTTP request every time they were booped. And someone figured out the API and how it worked, and they were able to cheat to get to the top of the boop. One of the important things to keep in mind is that even with like mainstream AAA games, people cheat on them all the time. And that's even things like Battlefield and stuff like that. And it's like, in Battlefield, etc., do they get like stopped or banned? Yeah, because it's like a big enough game. But smaller games, like single player games, people cheat all the time. You can't like always protect against it. And in Resonate, particularly because we have a feature gap for a system called hard permissions, which is on our roadmap, it would be like quite difficult to make it secure right now. It'll be less difficult to do that in the future, but still probably not. Jay provided a picture of their mouse, and it's missing a battery flap. If you've got a 3D printer, you can probably 3D print a replacement back. Do we have any additional questions? Oh, I might have missed some, but it looks like they're being re-asked. Got it. Red says, what's your favorite factory game type? It has to have conveyor belts. Has to have belts. If it doesn't have belts, I'm not really interested. I actually run a Steam curator page called Conveyor Belts, where we only list games that have conveyor belts. If you scream at me that a game that has conveyor belts is not on that list, let me know. I will add it because I've probably played it. All the review does is it says, does it have conveyor belts and how good are the conveyor belts? That's it. The only thing that curator page uses. Oh, and then Cynthia says, is there an ATA on when Resonate may get a mobile client? Having a mobile client would probably be a lot later than many other things. We don't really get any TA, but I wouldn't expect any news. I wouldn't expect it, right? I wouldn't expect any news on a mobile client this year. And just being honest, I probably wouldn't expect any news on it next year. For us to like really look at mobile again, we need to get the new renderer done, because otherwise we would have to contend with getting Unity to run on a phone. Additionally, I do not know if we will be able to do the multiprocessor architecture the same way on a mobile phone. It might have to be like somehow different. So that would also be a fact. Do we have additional questions? All right. Seeing as things are winding down naturally, I'm going to go ahead and leave things off here and then immediately save the recording. As mentioned in office hours updates, I'm looking into doing a like public working session of just all the things I keep putting off in office hours. I was going to do that straight after this, but like that's never really ideal. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to go do a bunch of research into CoreOS, and rethink how I did everything that I was handling over in Corpa versus Terra. Oh, I'm voluntarily jumping into this rabbit hole, right? I have to first of all figure out if we can even like spin up CoreOS on an Azure VM without like upload. I ain't uploading the ISO or anything. I think we can. I saw a document. I will be back next week again at prime time. Until then, bye.